There's a good chance you're hearing me from your car right now. You're listening, but mostly driving. Your hands are on the wheel, eyes on the road. You're aware of the cars around you, your speed, and your environment. I know, it's really easy to take our eyes off the windshield just for a second. Despite strict laws and expensive tickets that punish texting while driving, we still do it. A lot. In 2011, more than 3,000 people were killed in crashes involving a distracted driver. More than 300,000 people were injured in those crashes.
People love to multitask, and the windshield becomes just one more screen among many screens.
Clifford Nass is an expert on distraction and multitasking, and one of the people trying to engineer us out of this problem. He directs Samford University's automotive program, and he works at the university's Volkswagen Automotive Innovation Lab. Translation, driverless cars. Automotive scientists predict similar cars will be available to all of us within the next 10 years. But that doesn't mean our problems will disappear. Self-driving cars come with their own set of challenges. To figure out what they are, researchers use a high-tech, million-dollar, lifelike car simulator. KALW's Angela Johnston recently took the wheel.
So, this is a car simulator room.
When I walk into the room where I'll do my simulated driving, Clifford Nass escorts me to a real car sitting in the middle.
So this is a regular Toyota Avalon you'll see here.
It's almost indistinguishable from the cars in the parking lot outside. But here, there is no outside. Instead, the car is surrounded by three giant movie theater-style screens.
Okay, I'll buckle my seatbelt.
To my surprise, it actually feels just like a real car. Of course, I'm not going anywhere.
Oh wow, that's really funny. So then if you signal and move over, that works too?
Absolutely.
Wow, it's actually quite close to real.
And exactly.
Within seconds, I'm cruising around some generic looking city streets. Wherever I look, out the front, towards my side mirror, or in my rearview mirror, I see realistic images of roads and buildings. When I press my foot on the gas, the images start to move. Other cars pass me. Well, I guess I didn't hit the gas pedal that hard. The whole experience looks and feels real.
Well, your brain isn't built to think about simulators. Your brain is built, when it sees something, it thinks of it as real life. And so the fact that you are in a car, you're hitting the gas and brake, the car's responding totally appropriately, leads your brain to say, oh, this must be real life.
One thing that's not like real life? When NASA tests the simulator on research volunteers, they're usually covered in patches and wires and hooked up to an EEG that tracks brain activity.
And because we have the ability to measure every part of what your brain is doing, your heart is doing, your body is doing, we can get extremely accurate measurements.
There are three types of distraction he's trying to measure: manual, visual, and cognitive. Manually distracted means you're taking your hands off the wheel. Visually distracted means you're taking your eyes off the road. Cognitively distracted means you're taking your mind off the road. And texting, that's all three.
We determine what's going on in the brain when you're not just looking out the screen, but when you're thinking about the road as opposed to something else.
Studying our concentration and awareness is going to get a whole lot more complicated when driverless cars hit the road. After I get a hang of driving the car simulator through an easy course, Cliff tells me I can move on to the next level, the semi-autonomous course. Half of the time, the car will completely take over. I won't have to worry about squirrels, stoplights, stop signs,
etc., etc., etc. It will know everything it needs to know. That is important because obviously we wouldn't allow cars on the road that couldn't tell about stop signs or stoplights or whatever. And those turn out to be challenging. And so you're driving through here, you see mountains in the back. Oh, and here's a car that just cut you off.
Wow.
All of a sudden, an animated white Mercedes-Benz appears in front of me. I don't have my hands on the wheel. I grab for it and push the brake. But before I have time to slow, I realize the car has already done it for me.
So when that happens, we're very interested in your ability to react, your reaction time, and then looking at the same thing later when you've switched from autonomous mode to manual mode. How will you adjust?
There's only ever been one accident in an autonomous car, and it was when a human was driving. NASA says that's actually a problem, because they don't know what would cause the cars to crash.
If an autonomous car drives perfectly safely in autonomous mode, but drivers become incredibly unsafe, will autonomous cars that are perfectly safe nonetheless become unsafe? So it's a weird paradox, right?
After the Benz incident, the car asks me to take over. I try to be on my best driving behavior, but it doesn't take long before I let my mind wander again.
So another area we're very concerned with is the issue of... Oh my goodness. So because we were talking, just hit a pedestrian that came out. Fortunately, he's okay.
While I was tuned out, a pedestrian ran into the simulated street. And this time, the car didn't catch my mistake. If this were real life, I would have hit an actual person. It's scary, and that was enough for me.
At least for the next 20 years, we're going to have a mix of hybrid, of autonomous and non-autonomous vehicles on the road, and we have to figure out how to deal with that.
NASA says one way to do this is through smart design. The lab is working with companies like Toyota and Nissan to experiment with different ideas.
We actually have a camera out towards the windshield. And if the driver starts looking at, let's say, the center panel, the thing in the middle of the car, for more than 2 seconds, a picture of the road has popped up. So you see what you see in the windshield. So the idea is, if you don't want to look where you should be looking, we'll put the road where you're looking.
NASA and the lab plan to run the simulator thousands of times on all sorts of drivers, each time getting a better look at how we interact with our cars. The hope is to make us better drivers when we take the wheel and when we let go of it. At Stanford University, I'm Angela Johnston for CrossCurrents.